We're back. Thank you, Beck. Hey friends, you're listening to Life in Theater, the podcast where theater people of all kinds come to reconnect with why we chose this life in theater and spill the tea. On this show, we discuss their careers, what they wish they knew when they were starting, current theater culture, where they would like to see this art form go in the future, and much, much more. I'm your host, Tyler Calhoun, and I'm so, so happy that you decided to spend some time with me today. Hi, friends! Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of Life in Theater. I am particularly excited about this episode because it is an extension of what we explored in the last episode, internships and apprenticeships in the arts. However, in this episode, I get to sit down with two representatives from an incredible organization working to end unpaid internships in the theater industry. That's right, and we are going to get all up into it, okay? Now write this down because you are not going to want to forget it, okay? You may even be familiar with it from Facebook, but you're going to see a different side of this group today. We are talking to the one, the only, Lift the Curtain. That's right. Lift the Curtain, honey. Lift the Curtain is an incredible organization, like I said, on a mission to end the practice of unpaid labor in the theater industry. They are doing a ton of useful things that are really going to change the game for young theater artists and older theater artists alike. Now, if you are frustrated by unpaid internships and unpaid labor in the theater industry, well, we are going to give you some opportunities to get involved and help to do something about it. Now, I can't tell you how thankful I am that Lift the Curtain took the time to do this interview with me and how happy I am to be able to amplify the meaningful work that they are doing. I'm so excited about this episode, y'all, and I hope you are too. Now, without further ado, let's get into the gig. I hope you enjoyed the episode. All right. We're recording. Hi, friends. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Life in Theater. I have the incredible Jenna Snyder and the wonderful Alexander Wiley joining me today. How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Great.
You like my showman's voice? That's my podcasting voice.
It's pretty great.
Really great.
For the people listening, we are recording this at 8 p.m. and 7 p.m. on a Sunday night in true theater kid fashion. We are working to the end of the weekend. But we're working for great things. We're working for wonderful things. We're talking about their incredible organization that these two are a part of, and it is Lift the Curtain. And we're going to get all into that today. But to begin, I would just love to know, maybe Jenna, if you want to go first, and then Alex, you can follow up. Tell the listeners, in your own words, what it is that you do in theater.
Yeah, so I am a scenic and a props designer and artisan. I work in all different kinds of venues and forms of theater, from theme park shows to cruise line shows, special events, tours, any and everything that I can really get my hands on with technical theater and design.
Oh, I live. That's amazing. Especially because, like, on this podcast, too, we talk about, like, how theater lives and exists in so many different ways. So just you having your experience working in all those different areas, that's just remarkable. I love it. Alex, what about you, my friend?
I am also a props person. I'm a prop maker and manager. I mainly do boring old normal theater as opposed to Jenna's wide breadth of theater. Sometimes she drags me along on other things, though, and that's really fun. We've had some...
I often drag you along on other projects.
It's fun. But yeah, making props, making theater, doing the thing.
I live. And then for anybody that might be listening to this podcast that doesn't know what the world of props is or what that encompasses, would one of you love to just give us a brief overview of props?
That's such a loaded question. What is props is so contested. I'm going to say... basically anything the actor touches that isn't stapled down, and some of the stuff that is stapled down, is generally props. What do you think, Jenna?
Yeah, I think props can be any and every element depending on how it's utilized and how it's used. But they, for me, they're the elements of the show that help tell the story, other than, you know, the performer. They are the little elements that are super important in terms of storytelling.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And in my background, I'm a performer, but also a director. So, ooh, I love props. And I love the value of props and what they can do for a show and a performance. Props are important, y'all. If you didn't know, now you know. Props are important, okay? So I would love to know also, maybe Alex, if you want to go first, why did you decide to get into theater in the first place?
I got dragged to an audition for theater in high school. That's kind of where it started. It was, God, what show was it? It was like Footloose or something horrible. No offense, everyone loves Footloose. But yeah, I got dragged to that, did some then, got into college and went, God, you're a bad actor. You're such a bad actor. And found tech theater and just, I love it. Been here since.
That's awesome. What about you, Jenna?
Sorry, I'm just picturing Alex in Footloose right now, and it's really great.
It's bad. It's so bad.
Wait, who are you?
Like unnamed person number three, you know? Like,
yes.
It wasn't great.
unnamed person number three.
Sort of similar, but in a different vein. I got into theater in high school because my brother was an actor, and I had to wait for his rehearsal to be over to walk home from school so we could walk home together. And so the theater teacher just kind of saw me reading a book in the hallway and was like, you, what are you doing? We need help painting this thing. And I was like, okay. And then I just fell in love with technical theater and design and painting and all of that, stage management, all of it, anything I could do where I didn't have to be the center of attention and people didn't have to look at me. I was all about.
I love how in true theater kid fashion, they were also like, oh, look, somebody who's available, like, hands that can work, come with us. We have a job.
I truly believe it was a production of Our Town, and she didn't think she needed an actual stage manager. And it was like everything was just chaos. So she was like, you can be the stage manager. And I was like, okay, sure.
What does that mean?
Right? Did you think that the stage manager written in the script was just the stage manager?
I legit thought she thought high schoolers would be like more professional. And I was like, that was a mistake.
You know what? I do know some professional high schoolers, but I also know some very unprofessional high schoolers. Yeah. So now that we know a little bit about y'all and where you're coming from with theater, I would love to know more about Lift the Curtain. Give us the tea. What is Lift the Curtain? What are we here for? What's the mission, the vision, all of that? I want to know all about it.
All right. Well, Lift the Curtain is an advocacy group, and the goal is ending unpaid internships in our industry. So through this pandemic, a lot of us have found that we had a lot of free time on our hands to really look and evaluate our industry and the practices of our industry. And in the summer, largely in response to the We See You White American Theater list of demands, there's a demand on there of more equitability and more entry into our industry, and how unpaid internships are classist and do not allow for that entry. And so it started with a series of tweets from really big movers and shakers in the tech theater world, Jay Duckworth, Eric Hart, about how we need to make space in theater and that these practices really are unfair and like they're gatekeeping. Like that's what unpaid internships are doing. And that when theater comes back, it should come back without these practices, that there should be no unpaid, there should be no less than minimum wage apprenticeship that we need to get paid for these. So a group came together and kind of started a Facebook group to just get people talking and get interest. And then I believe it was mid to late June when members of the group, one of our members worked with other members to create this forum that was like, tell us about your internship experience. So it was a survey to just get information on these internships. And I believe within 24 hours, they had 500 entries into the survey. And so from that large Facebook community, an organization formed that was trying to figure out, okay, how do we truly tackle this issue? What do we need to do? How do we achieve any kind of forward momentum and forward movement in ending this practice? So that's kind of really where Lift the Curtain started. And so then from there, we realized there is not a lot of oversight and information about these internships. So like there's not, even if you're applying for an internship, it's hard to find out information and it's hard to find out what accommodations there will be, what hours you will work as an intern, like all of these things. So we really wanted to help create resources to empower those who are entering our fields to be able to make, you know, financially intelligent decisions based on what their needs are, and to also be able to realize that their value and their power and be able to say no to these unpaid positions. And Alex, chime in if I missed anything.
No, I mean, that's really what we've been doing. Everyone's got their war stories of an internship that is not great, to put it politely. But what we've been doing is trying to get actual concrete data to really show how bad these are for people and how they don't help like people say they do. And we're trying to change the mindset. I think that's at the core, is changing people's mindset on labor and what's allowable and what's healthy and good. And an unpaid internship where you're working, between 40 and let's say 80 hours a week, because we all know some of them are horrific. Like, that's not healthy for a myriad of reasons.
Right.
And it's just a bad practice. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a horrible practice. It's exploitation at the end of the day. And if you're doing a job, you should be paid for that job. And then when you're talking about theater artists entering the industry, I mean, I don't know if it's the same for other industries, but most theater artists I know have to cast a very wide net because these internship spots are extremely competitive. So to speak to something you had said previously, Jenna, about like, you know, getting all of those specific details for the many internships that are out there, like housing, stipends, what the work conditions are going to be like, what the job responsibilities are going to be like. It varies across every institution, and there are so many to look for. Everybody that I know that's done it, who's been like a stage manager, they've created a giant Excel doc that has like all of the questions that they would ask, all the information that they could find, a contact for who to reach out to figure that out. But that's so much work. That's an internship in and of itself just to find one, you know?
Well, that's something too that we've talked about, where like just the work to go into finding internships, like you said, it's almost a full-time job. But also like so many places are less than transparent on what actually is going to happen too.
Right.
Where it's like housing included, and it's like, well, what is that housing? And, you know, meals, overnight meals provided. Well, what are the meals? Because like, it's just very hard to get real truthful data sometimes, which is what we've been finding.
Yeah. And I think the big problem too is these internships are bad for the people who can take them. There are so many people who can't afford to take them, who then cannot enter our theater industry because there's a certain amount, and this is a trend that I've been noticing has been getting worse throughout the years, of like entry-level jobs that require multiple years of experience for an entry-level position in the theater. And the only way you could possibly have that experience is through an internship or, you know, collegiate work, things like that, that not everybody who wants to and would be phenomenal in our industry has access to. And so like those barriers, we should find a way to make sure that those barriers aren't there. Because truly, if your business model cannot function without unpaid labor, then we need to reevaluate the business model.
Yes. Thank you. That speaks to my soul. Oh my gosh. We need to reevaluate the damn business model because nobody should be showing up and leaving without a paycheck. If you're doing a job, you should get paid for that job at the end of the day. And navigating all these things, especially when you're a young professional just trying to get into this, is so difficult. You really don't know what questions to ask, honestly, until you go through that internship and then you learn what questions you will always ask. You know what I mean? So just as a theater professional myself, I'm super thankful that an organization like this is, you know, existing and breathing and growing in this time. It's invaluable to myself and many other theater artists, all of the theater artists, you know? And you spoke to it a little bit before about, you know, the Facebook group and, you know, the time that we all had because of the pandemic. But what, you know, kind of happened to make Lift the Curtain come to be? Like, were there people in that group that, you know, kind of took the reins? What did that look like?
I mean, truly, it was a large group of organizers who got together.
Yeah.
Basically, the one thing that happened was a Slack channel was started, because Facebook group is phenomenal for discussion and mm-hmm. conversation. But I think there was a lot of difficulty like getting actual work done in a Facebook group setting. So creating a Slack channel and then all volunteers who wanted to join, which by the way, anybody in our industry and out of our industry who is passionate about this and wants to volunteer can absolutely volunteer.
Join us.
Creating those channels and really figuring out what we wanted to do. And as we did that, as we developed a document of our internship standards, what our mission statement was, what our values were, we realized how layered this issue is and how it affects so many different parts of our industry. It's truly like one of those, if you throw a pebble, you don't know how far the ripples go. Mm. But, you know, in doing this research and going through a lot of these things, you sometimes like feel like you need a legal degree to even understand, you know, the federal regulations for internships, whether it's legal or not. And there are things that are vague on purpose. Because, you know, you don't want to preclude the people that it would help, but it ends up allowing loopholes that people take advantage of. And right. So it's, well, in what case would this be okay? And in what situation is this okay? And, you know, is a travel stipend an appropriate form of compensation? What about housing? What about education, apprenticeship? So we're trying to take all of those into really deep consideration when we're trying to figure out what the standards should be and how to figure out how to evaluate theater programs and internship programs to see where they fall in meeting those standards. And then also we want to help strategize ways for theater programs to improve.
When we've just been talking about, you know, there's so many theaters out in the United States. I think we've found over 700 that we're, you know, looking at their programs, seeing what they do. And something like, yes, we want to find out how they're doing things, but not just so we know, but also so we can like help spread information. Because if there's a theater in, you know, California who's doing this really cool thing that could help a theater in South Dakota, or any other combination of this, like the point is not like we can find things to help other people. We just have to talk more and gather the info. We've got to be collaborative and see what's out there to help these other programs do better.
Mm. Completely. Like, the spirit of collaboration is real. And that is something that we have to, you know, use and rely on moving forward. I don't know why theaters operate so much in isolation. You know what I mean? Like, it's either we have an agreement where we, like, borrow something and that's the only kind of collaboration we have together, or, you know, like, we just don't work with each other because we're in fierce competition with each other. But why? You know, like, who is that helping in the end and in the long run? Who does that serve? You know, this helping each other out is really where the magic happens. And you talked about, you know, finding out what people are doing, not just finding out, but using that information and sharing that information so that other people can see how those models work and choose to adopt models for themselves, change stuff for their own companies. And honestly, that's why I'm doing this episode too, because I know that a lot of young people are frustrated about a lot of things happening in our world, but operating in isolation is not going to do anything about it. You have to reach out and collaborate with other people if you want to do any kind of change or have any kind of impact, you know?
I feel like it's a mentality that happens on multiple scales within our industry, right? Yeah. Where, like, you can be the kind of designer or the kind of actor or the kind of director who looks at somebody who is doing something successfully and go, oh, but I didn't like this part about it, or I didn't like that part about it. Mm-hmm. Or you can be the kind of artisan, or, like I said, any form in our industry who looks at that and goes, what strategies are they using that maybe I can implement? Like what's going on there? And so I think breaking some of that competitive mindset, mm-hmm, and figuring out the, like, this worked for you and your theater company, I wonder if that could work for our theater company, so that we can, you know, figure out a way to manage our budgets better, or utilize our donor base better, or whatever we need to do to make it equitable and make it fair. And when you do that, there are so many studies, not specifically within theater, but in other industries, so many studies where the work input of not just your interns, but your employees raises when your interns are paid.
Yeah.
It helps the morale overall. It helps you get a more diverse group of interns because they can afford, mm-hmm, to take the internship, and it gets other opinions and other views into the mix and a seat at the table, which is what we need to do as an industry. Yeah,
completely. Completely. And in that vein, would either of you be able to speak to how Lift the Curtain functions as an organization? Like, what does it take to make things happen within your collective?
I can talk about this a little bit. So within Lift the Curtain, there are, like, two ways you can help and work. There's the volunteer base, which is anyone who wants to help. We have volunteers helping with social media. We have volunteers helping with theater internship program evaluation, with so many things, working on educational resources for people, looking at nonprofit statuses and things, like, just a lot of stuff. So there's this group, and then we have the group of organizers, which also fluctuates, but it's the group of people who are dedicating just a larger amount of time to the organization, really. We're having weekly meetings, we're taking notes from the volunteers, from the Facebook group, and trying to really look into the overarching goals for Lift the Curtain, and moving us forward along those paths just to keep the organization going.
It's also worth being said, any volunteer can be an organizer. There is no, the only requirement for being an organizer within the organization is to be able to attend the weekly meetings, and organizers are voting members within what the organization does. So the status of organizer means basically anything that we want to do as an organization is proposed. And that proposal can come from an organizer, that can come from a volunteer through an organizer. You know, if there's something we want to do or look into doing, anybody can propose that. And then the organizers kind of go over the proposal, talk about it, discuss it, and then vote on whether that's something we want to pursue or not. And once it's voted on, then we work into forming committees, or even sometimes we have to enter a committee of the whole where everybody wants to talk about a specific subject and then really look into that. So a lot of our things start as research, like, hey, we think we want to create a database, so we want to do some research into what that is. So going from there, then we're like, great, we definitely see the need for this database, mm-hmm. and we want to evaluate theater programs. So let's figure out our evaluation method and our standards for that evaluation. And we're still working on figuring some of that out. That is something that is coming soon to our website, our internship equity database.
Yes. Can you speak to that?
Yes, we're working on it.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're basically with the internship equity database, our goal is for this to be a free, publicly accessible resource. Mm-hmm. So it's like a one-stop shop where you can research, compare, comment about theater internship programs. So we want to basically do an overall rating of the program based on our internship equity standards. So rating criteria is still under development, but we want to evaluate their compensation, mm-hmm. the quality of their education, and then the overall intern experience. So those are the three main things at this point that we're evaluating. Mm. And then we want to go into the nuances of those things. So for example, for compensation, we want to make sure that we're taking into consideration your average hours, your college credits, your weekly pay rate, overtime eligibility. That is a hard word to say.
Girl,
it is. I know, right? But provisions of housing, travel accommodations, food provisions. Mm. And one thing we do is we try to break this all down into what we're calling the effective hourly rate. So you provide food. Great. We're going to look into what a weekly grocery bill for an adult of this age range is in that state that that internship is. Yeah. And then whatever that weekly bill is, we're going to break down into the hours per week that an intern works. So effectively, that is what you're compensating them for. And using that to determine what an internship is paying. And if that number ends up being less than the minimum wage, then that's a problem.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. For anybody listening that's like, their head's kind of like racing or they can't wrap their minds around this, this is going to be beautiful. This is going to be the best thing ever. It's going to save so many young theater artists from having so many headaches and reaching out to 20 different people and getting 20 different responses about a theater company or the internships that they offer. It's going to help people, you know, decide whether or not they can actually do this, you know, and try to do this. Like, I can't even express to you what something like this would have been for me, like when I was first starting out. Like, oh my God, it's really going to be an incredible resource. So, and I love the fact too that you're just doing it. I'm so passionate about this. I'm so excited about it. It makes me feel like I'm freaking back in grad school because you are doing this right too. You are breaking it down and like using data and real numbers and like hard facts that like we live with, like a weekly grocery bill. Like, go ahead.
No, sorry. But the you were saying, you know, using hard numbers and data and facts, that's been something we've talked about a lot. Because we, like I said before, we have our anecdotal war stories of an internship that was hard. And everyone can relate, you know, all those hard experiences. But we need the actual numbers and data to talk to the problem. And the biggest thing about numbers and data is you can't say we're fabricating them. You can't say we're trying to skew something. You can't say that, you know, we are trying to say you're doing something horrible. The numbers are just going to say what the numbers say. Mm. And the good thing about that is they can change too. Like if there's a theater that's like, shit, this is bad, we're not doing great, you can change that. And that's great, honestly. We hope that this brings about some sense of change and we can do better. Mm-hmm. Like that's the goal.
Yeah, and accountability too. Like we want theater artisans to look at this database and use it to make informed decisions, but we also want theater companies to look at this database and go, what can I do? Like where's my score? How do I measure up to other theaters and what can I do to make this a more desirable place to be and a more equitable place to be? And I will say along the lines of what Alex was talking about, mm-hmm. the data isn't out there and it's not open. So like we need help collecting data. We have an internship data collection form on our website. Yeah. Any theater artisan who has had an internship within the last 5 to 10 years, if you can fill out that form, and then somebody, if we need information about that specific program you were involved in, somebody will be reaching out to you from Lift the Curtain to help collect that data, because it is not publicly available all the time. Some theaters make it available, a lot of theaters don't. So really it's finding out from us, from the theater workers.
Yeah. And this is like that work that must be done in order for the change that we all want to happen. So thank you for doing that work. I really appreciate it. And I will be linking that form in the show notes for this episode. So if there's anybody that's listening to this episode and would like to contribute and help to, you know, add to that data, you can look there and you can complete the form there. Okay. Or you can go to their website and do it there. That'll be also linked in the show notes.
All the links.
All the links. So I know that the database is coming, but do you have any other resources available at this time for young artists who are navigating the internship stage of their career?
Yeah. If you would go to, first of all, we have an Instagram account. It's _liftthecurtain, all one word, all lowercase. We post internship testimonials. We have a series that we posted of internship red flags and questions you're allowed to ask during an interview.
Yes. So
those kinds of things. Also on our website, we have an article archive that is kind of organized based on if it's industry specific, if it's labor law specific, if it's internship specific. So you can find some really interesting articles. We're going to be starting to post some of those on our social media as well, but just sharing these articles that are out there. And then we also have a resource list of just other organizations. So like, if you're passionate about changing our industry, there's so many things that need to change that it might be hard to find the best outlet for your passion. And if it's not unpaid internships, there are other organizations out there that we want to make sure that you can see and are visible to you, that you might find that is the best outlet for your talents and your passion to help change your industry, whether it's Be an Arts Hero, whether it's No More 10 Out of 12. There's a lot of organizations that are working right now to change our industry for the better. And internships is what we are tackling.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You talked about, like, you know, being passionate about changing things. And when you're passionate about, like, you know, I want to change this and I want this and this, it can be difficult. So helping to find ways to focus that passion, you know, it's like, maybe I don't volunteer with every organization all the time, but maybe I do, you know, like participate in, you know, this organization for, you know, a year or for a few months or even just for an initiative, you know, and I really, you know, show up while I'm doing that. Like, that can help, you know, I mean, just for me, like, helping, you know, to amplify the work that people are doing, like y'all, you know, on this podcast, that helps me out too. Like, you know, and then finding ways to get involved and continuing that relationship after the interview's over. Like, if you can just find the way that works for you, you know, to get involved, I find that it helps. But focusing that passion, that's paramount.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't realize how helpful things as simple as filling out a form or sharing a post, you know, sharing something on your feed can be so impactful and so helpful. I mean, there's a great group called Costume Professionals for Wage Equity that was working with on our team, and they got Playbill to require that you have to have a price range before posting a job description, which is huge.
Yep.
And we met with them to talk about it. And we were like, this is exactly something we're passionate about. And at this point, what we can do is share it on our Facebook group. But no matter how small your platform is, you have a platform. Mm-hmm. And getting that information out there has more of an impact than you know. I know sometimes I see things and I go, I really want to share this, but like, oh, I don't want to be that person who's sharing things all the time and posting on my feed all the time.
Yeah.
But it really does have an impact.
Yeah. It's so true. And I wonder if either of you would speak to maybe your experience or thoughts regarding, like, the difference between when you, you know, are really passionate about wanting to make something happen but you don't, you know, maybe you're not connected with a group, so you feel like you can't really make anything happen, or you don't know of anybody else who is doing the kind of thing that you want to be doing. Like, the difference between being in that space to where, like, you are right now, where you're connected, you are, like, in the middle of a group that's, like, working and recruiting and helping to make things better and make change happen. Like, I don't know, because I feel like, for me, when I'm in the different spaces of, like, wanting to make something happen but feeling isolated from having the ability or agency to make change as opposed to having the resources to do it, like, it's very different spaces to be in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, like, it's all the things with, like, the other organizations that are working on things now, and us included, like, they're all pretty, they're large issues that are being addressed, and at times, you know, it can be really difficult to look at it and not get, you know, a bit overwhelmed or sad or feel that you're just kind of like helpless. Like, that's real. I mean, that's hard. And something that's been great, you know, with the organizer pool, with the volunteers, with the Facebook engagement, our Facebook engagement has always been so wonderful to see and just heartening, because you're aware that, like, you're not, you know, by yourself yelling into the void or something and no one's listening. People are listening, and people want the change that a lot of us want, you know, that I think that's been a really strong point for Lift the Curtain. And I'm sure other organizations, I mean, I can't say for sure, but the community helps. It makes you feel not alone and that you're being listened to. And that certainly always helps me when I'm like, this is really hard to deal with, but I know I have other people helping me with it, or other people going through it with me, and that helps. And it's super, like, you know, cutesy Disney, you know, we'll do it together, but, like, we'll do it together, you know?
Well, and that's the thing too, is I feel like, I mean, a couple of points to that is we often in meetings talk about, like, bandwidth. Do I have the bandwidth to take this on at this moment? And being able to feel like you can speak up when you don't, because a lot of people will be like, yes, I can handle that. Totally, I can handle it, especially in theater, because we are trained that that is what we have to do all the time in order to be a valuable human, which is not true. Like, you can say, I can't take this task on right now. Is there anybody else available to take it on? And I think it can be intimidating going into an organization when you see so many people passionate about something and knowing where they fit in the organization and not knowing where you might fit. So I would just say, if you reach out to an organization and you want to join, whether it's our organization or any of the other amazing ones that are out there, ask, kind of like when you're going to take a job. The same questions that we have that you can ask before taking a job, you can ask before joining a volunteer organization too. Like, say, how will I fit into this? What opportunities are there for me within your organization? These are my skill sets. How can they be useful to you? Because there might be something that the organization hasn't even thought of that you have that might be an avenue that we want to take as a group. And we'll be like, yes, run with it. Do the research. Let us know what that entails. And we will support you in whatever way we can. The other thing is, so many of us have so many passions outside of the theater, like grant writing or data analysis. And we're finding those super useful within Lift the Curtain as we're doing this, which is really, really great to, like, tap into those skills and skills that we've learned through, I think, a lot through our theater work, and skills that, you know, are useful to companies and therefore should be compensated for.
Yes. Yes. Precisely. Oh, I love. So we've talked a lot about how people can volunteer with Lift the Curtain and what they can do, but how do people do that? Do they go to your website? Do they reach out on social media? What do they do?
So you can reach out. We have two different email addresses. Mm-hmm. We have nunpaidtheaterinternships@gmail.com, which will be with the links. And then we have volunteerforliftthecurtain@gmail.com. You can reply to either of those email addresses. If you specifically want to volunteer, just make sure volunteer is in that subject line. And then a team member from Lift the Curtain will get back to you as soon as possible to get your information and kind of do some onboarding into our organization, what we do, and get started.
Oh my gosh. Young theater artists, older theater professionals and people passionate about change. Volunteer, get involved, be a part of something. It will do wonders for your mental health, I swear. You know? Be a part of something.
Truly.
Right? So, kind of switching gears a little bit, I would love to know, maybe if both of you just want to speak to this, what do you love about theater?
God, another loaded question. Oh, God. I like the storytelling. I don't know. It is, in its best and worst, it's so collaborative. Mm-hmm. And there are so many people coming together to tell one story. And that's really lovely. I mean, and we know sometimes it's easier than other times, but it's a community and it's a good one.
I love that. I love that whole bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have much to add to that. It's the community. I feel like the arts always holds up a mirror to our society and causes it to reflect on what's going on. And I think frequently the arts doesn't hold that mirror up to itself. So that's kind of what I feel like this pandemic gave a lot of us the time to reflect on our industry as well. And it's so theater to try to evaluate and break the unhealthy habits of theater, right? Like it's so very meta. it's very meta. But it's true. It's one of those things where like, we were all raised on media and theater about being fair and not taking oppression and standing up for, you know, the weakest of us.
Yeah.
And now we're like all passionate about doing it. And I feel like there's a little bit like Pikachu face meme going on for people who are like, oh no, like that's not what we wanted.
Oh my God.
I love how a meme made it into a non-visual, like, artistic medium.
Right?
It's also going to date this podcast forever now. They will know. Like, they will know. But it's one of the quotes that Alex and I have talked about a lot, and it's from an amazing cartoon, BoJack Horseman. You look at something through rose-colored sunglasses, all of the red flags look like flags. Mm. And that, I think, is what has happened with the theater industry in general, that we've all been looking at it through rose-colored sunglasses and we're missing those red flags. And then, again, true theater fashion, we're ripping off those sunglasses and tearing down those flags.
Yeah.
Making it better.
Yep.
Yeah. Making it better. And anybody that doesn't want to participate in making it better, I'm sorry, but I don't have any time for you. To be completely honest. Ugh. So, okay, here is my final question for you, friends. And it's one of my favorite questions because everybody has something different to say. And they're always just great nuggets. So no pressure, but, you know, a lot of pressure. Okay. So. It's great. What is something significant that theater has taught you about life?
Ooh.
Oh my God, it just blew Alex's mind. Or he had the most amazing aha moment ever.
You get to go first this time, Jenna.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
I'm fine. I'm comfortable with silence. I can't edit it.
It's going to make for a great podcast. Oh, I know, just right? Silence.
Memes, silence. Yeah, it's great.
Yay!
I think it's that theater has a way of creating meaning and giving us the power to express our ideas and emotions. And that we can and should and are using that power to give meaning back and then to shape a more inclusive world.
Hmm. That's gorgeous.
Okay, great.
No, I don't want to follow you.
Right, Alex, what you got?
I should have went first. Shit.
He can edit it so you go first.
No, it's fine. I think kind of in the same-ish vein, but that I know I keep talking about like community, but like it's what you make of it.
Yeah.
And you can find the one that you fit in. I think theater and the arts have always been good for, you know, people who are looking for a sense of home or whatever. And I think that's what I've gotten the most out of it. Some other like-minded people or people who are, I don't know, you can just talk to and they make sense, like just another home, mm-hmm. maybe.
Yeah. And I think it's cool to reflect on those things, especially in the time that we're living in, you know, with like times of change and times of being disconnected. So like there's a lot of value, I think, that theater can offer this time. And I've said it on previous episodes, but I continue to think that like there's a lot that we can value from, whether it's what the skills that we take away from working in theater or just being a participant in it, you know, and what it does for you. Like, there's a lot there. There's a lot there that can help us to figure out what the fuck we do next.
Great. You're right.
You know? Yeah. And I truly feel like through theater, we have been taught to value our world and our stories. And we need to apply that same value to ourselves.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. And yes. I think that's really what this time of, you know, the pandemic and the time of not having work and having that stability has given me, is the ability to go, I have put so much value in the work that I do and in the things that I create that I have not taken the time to value myself as the creator. And now I feel like I'm in a stronger place to do that. And I want to make sure all people entering the theater feel that value, like know that their work is valued and that value is also economically viable. Like that's part of it.
You can love your art and make money too.
Yes. Yeah. Those are not mutually exclusive. Like,
thank you. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. The starving artist does not have to be a thing.
No.
No.
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. No ham, no turkey, nothing. Okay.
You can do it for the love of the art, and you can also get paid for the love of the art.
Absolutely. 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 So, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share with us about Lift the Curtain or anything that we have or haven't talked about today?
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say another healthy, if you want to help, we certainly can use the help. Even if like you think, well, I've only got an hour a week. That's fine. Like if you want to give a little bit of your time, we'll appreciate your time and say thanks.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, check out our website, check out our Instagram, reach out if you have any information, join the Facebook discussion group. If you want to see different articles, different information about labor equity in theater. And it doesn't change unless we as the artisans say is enough and we change it. So we have that power. We just need to utilize it.
Yes. And to utilize that power, to start utilizing that power, y'all can click any of the links in the show notes for this episode, and you can start learning about Lift the Curtain. You can fill out their survey form. You can join, support, get involved, be a part of it. Because just like Jenna said, it's not going to change unless we say enough's enough. Right? So here we are, friends. I appreciate both of you so much for being guests on this episode. I'm so excited about the work you're doing. It's great. Just great.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's been great.
Lift the Curtain, I just want to thank you so much for making yourself available for the interview and to Alex and Jenna for everything you did to make it happen. I'm so excited that an organization like this exists right now, and I truly hope that those listening will consider getting involved in some way. Now, if you want to know more about Lift the Curtain, be sure to check out their link tree, which will be available in the show notes for this episode. There, you can access everything we talked about in this episode and more. Thank you for your support of Life in Theater Podcast. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. You are creative, valuable, and loved. And don't you forget it, okay? Please, don't you forget it. I would like to take a moment to thank everyone that has listened to an episode of Life in Theater, subscribed on Patreon, shared a post about it, or supported the podcast in any way. It absolutely means the world to me. I also want to thank everyone who has taken time to share their experiences and expertise in the podcast. I'm so grateful for the people that I've been able to meet and for the things that I've been able to personally learn from working on this podcast. At this point in time, I want to announce that I will be taking a break from making the podcast. I'm starting a new job, moving this summer, and working on a few other projects. I'm also going through a lot of life transitions, and I really want to focus on that, which isn't leaving me a lot of time that I need to create this podcast. Life in Theater will remain posted and available for anyone who wants to listen, and when things change, I may get back to regularly releasing episodes. In the meantime, my Patreon subscribers will not be charged, and I will personally reach out if I decide to reactivate it to each of you. And if people stumble upon the podcast, and especially this episode, I hope that you'll reach out to me on social media, you know, through Life in Theater or Tyler L. Calhoun. We can chat about life and theater and old episodes and anything else that you want to talk about. But for now, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting both me and this podcast. This is not a goodbye, it's just to see you later, or maybe see you in a different form. I don't know, but I'm excited to see what that is. I like to end every podcast episode with a ghost-like quote. Ghost lights have a long history with theater, and they are still used on Broadway and in theaters all across the world to help the last few stragglers see their way out of a dark theater at the end of the night. I hope this quote helps to light your path. And it actually comes from earlier in the episode. I liked it so much that I wanted to bring it back here. And I hope that you enjoy it too. When you look at someone through rose-colored glasses, all the red flags just look like flags. BoJack Horseman, Season 2, Episode 10. Thank you again for joining me on another episode of Life in Theater. Bye, friends.